You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I write about the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago and Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. So today, we're going to preview the upcoming free agent safety class. It might be the deepest position set to hit free agency here when the new league year starts next week. The Chicago Bears have a lot of options if they do not re-sign Adrian Amos. It appears at this point that they're going to at least let Amos test the market and see where he falls among this long list of free agent safeties. So we're going to kind of turn our attention away from Amos and look at the guys that are at the top of the market, some of the bargain bin options if the Bears want to go cheap, and then we'll wrap up with sort of the more middle ground affordable types that might give you a little bit more confidence than the bargain bin guys but aren't going to break the bank to bring them into Chicago. Let's start with the biggest names here on the free agent market, because even though it seems unlikely at this point that the Chicago Bears are going to go out and spend big money at the safety position, it's not totally out of the question, right? Ryan Pace has a history of being aggressive to add impact players to help his team, first and foremost. And second of all, the Bears technically do have the cap space to potentially go out and sign a big name player. It would likely limit their ability to add talent at other places on the roster and might require Ryan Pace to make a few other salary-related moves elsewhere on the team to clear up some extra cap space, just to kind of free up enough of that room to fill out every other position. But it's not totally, again, out of the question that a top-name free agent safety would come to Chicago, albeit unlikely at this point. But it does kind of give some context for who Adrian Amos is competing against in terms of the marketplace and who's going to get the biggest money and what opportunities are then going to be left for Amos and how that could shape his next contract, whether it's with the Bears or with another team. I think the New York Giants opting not to put the franchise tag on Landon Collins and essentially signifying that he will be playing elsewhere in 2018 kind of puts him near the top of this free agent safety list. The former second-round pick out of Alabama played a little bit with Eddie Jackson at Alabama, by the way. Spent 4 years with the Giants, a Pro Bowler in each of the last three. Not a free safety-type playmaker, but a guy who can play some linebacker, a great box safety, and a player who should be commanding top dollar. The other guy, I think, at the top of the free agent list here is Earl Thomas, the longtime Pro Bowl safety for the Seattle Seahawks, sort of the last lingering member of the Legion of Boom over there. He's a first-round pick out of Texas way back in the 2010 draft. He's creeping up on that 30-year-old hump, but still a high-quality player. He was injured for most of last season, so there's some potential for that to limit his value to some extent. And he's not looking at a guy that's going to get a major long-term deal, but a guy who's probably going to be paid very well on the short term because he can still come in and play like a top-flight safety here in the NFL, even at this age. So those two guys, I think, are kind of the very tip-top of the market headliner safeties. But there are a few other guys that I think are either going to command top dollar or are expected to command top dollar based on how the market is actually going to play out. One of those guys is LaMarcus Joyner from the Los Angeles Rams, a player who I don't think necessarily gets talked about so much in the conversation among the best safeties in the NFL, but is sort of in that fringe area, just on the outside of that list, kind of emerged just in the last couple years as a true high-quality starting option for the Rams. He's been there his whole five-year career, the second-round pick out of Florida State, but didn't really take over as this full-time starter until 2017. That was sort of the last year of his rookie deal. Broke out with three picks and a number of pass breakups as well, and looked like a big-time playmaker at the safety position, so they franchise-tagged him and let him play on that franchise tag this year to kind of prove it again, and had another strong season. You know, only one interception, I think, might have been a little bit disappointing for the Rams, but held up just fine on the back end and was solid in coverage for them. A little bit more of an undersized safety, but a guy that, you know, coming off of the franchise tag year, a couple of years of proven high-quality play at the safety, even if it's not at the total elite production level, I think he's a guy who's looking for that big payday and that sort of long-term contract to lock him in now, kind of entering his prime and looking for that next deal here in his career. Similar situation for HaHa Clinton Dix, the former Green Bay Packers first-round pick, another college teammate of Landon Collins, and I think Eddie Jackson was technically there for 1 year with them as well at Alabama. Spent his first 4.5 seasons with the Green Bay Packers. They decided to trade him about halfway through the year to Washington, where he played about the final 9 games. Still been a pretty heavy turnover generator, some real playmaking ability at the free safety position. Just wasn't the right fit for whatever reason in the Packers' new defense this past year, but still a high-quality starting safety. And you know, you might think the low trade value that the Packers got for him, it was just a mid-round pick, if I remember correctly, it would seem to indicate that he wasn't a highly valued commodity when it comes to, you know, trying to get these types of safeties out here on the open market. But at the same time, there seems to be this expectation that given he's entering his prime here, he's still only 26 years old. He's a guy who's had seasons with 5 interceptions, 3 interceptions, and 3 interceptions in his last 3 seasons back to back to back. Pretty solid tackler as well. He's a high-quality safety, and I think SpotTrack.com has him projected up in the $10 million a year type range. It seems a little bit rich for what I would give Clinton Dix, but it sounds like he's right up in this market. And last guy, throw Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, in there as well. A guy I think a lot of Bears fans have had an eye on. He can play some slot, can play some safety, and does a little bit of everything for your defense. Was released last offseason by the Arizona Cardinals in a salary cap type move. Played in Houston on a 1-year deal, but played pretty well, kind of continuing at his usual level of playmaking ability. And, you know, still a couple of picks and a couple of sacks and can do a little bit of everything. And now he's looking to cash in now, reproving himself in Houston, still entering his prime. He'll turn 27 this offseason. So you can see where when you start to try and piece Adrian Amos somewhere in this conversation, he's not better than Landon Collins, not better than Earl Thomas, probably not better than LaMarcus Joyner, probably not better than Tyrann Mathieu when he's at his peak. HaHa Clinton Dix. Different type of safety and a little bit different type of safety for the Earl Thomases and the LaMarcus Joyners of the world as well. But it's as consistent as Adrian Amos has been. I don't think he's quite up there at those guys' level. So when you start talking about 5 of these guys ahead of him that all are commanding big contracts, is there going to be enough money to go around for Adrian Amos? Or, you know, will the Bears ultimately end up being his best bet there? Or can the Bears find a better deal with another player on the open market? We'll look at some of the best bargain bin options for Ryan Pace this offseason next on Locked On Bears. So if Adrian Amos signs with another team this offseason, Ryan Pace might not have a lot of incentive to dump a bunch of money in the safety position, particularly with a contract extension coming up for Eddie Jackson. You still have Deion Bush on the roster as someone who can at least compete for a potential starting spot at the safety position. And luckily for Pace, there are some pretty decent, real cheap end options on this free agent market that are the kind of guys you can kind of take low-risk contracts with and potentially have some high rewards if they're able to pan out. I think the name at the top of this list for me is George Iloka. Now, he was a longtime starter for the Cincinnati Bengals for about 5 years of his career or so. And then with this kind of weird free agent safety market last offseason that really dried up and a lot of these talented players kind of just lingered and didn't have teams for most of the offseason, Iloka ended up eventually signing with the Minnesota Vikings really late in the process. I want to say it was like preseason already before he joined the team, and there was some speculation of would he start and knock one of their guys kind of off, or would he just kind of play this backup hybrid role, and it ended up being more of a bench guy. I think he officially played in, like got the quote-unquote start in about three games, and his total snap counts over the course of the season didn't really add up to much of a role offensively, at the very least. 117 snaps across what's really about six games, and one of those games was just one snap. So it was almost a non-existent role for a guy who had been a pretty consistent starter, not a Pro Bowler, but a quality starter for that Cincinnati Bengals defense under Mike Zimmer. And so when he's coming off this kind of a non playing year essentially and hitting the open market again, I don't think he's a guy that's going to be able to command a very significant long-term contract. I think he's going to be a type of player that either signs a one-year prove-it deal with a team, or maybe can get a couple of years at a pretty moderate price as he kind of has to re-emerge as a starting quality safety in the NFL. I think he is still there. He just didn't have the opportunities to do so in Minnesota, and it is definitely a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type league. So I would definitely be identifying George Aloka as a guy still, I guess he's about to turn 29 years old, but still under 30, still sort of in that prime of his career. His legs might be a little bit more fresh after not playing so much with the Vikings last year, but a consistent starter for the Bengals for about 5 years before that, and I would absolutely sign up for, you know, 1 year, you know, $4 million or whatever for George Aloka to compete with Deion Bush, you know, and if Bush is ready to beat him, then you're not out too much money. You're not locked into George Aloka all that long, and Aloka can be that fill-in starter at potentially either safety spot if you need him to come in. So I'm definitely putting a big star and a big circle next to Aloka's name on this free agent list. Another veteran that could be sort of a one-year stopgap type player, I think, would be Glover Quinn, the former Detroit Lions safety. And what's enticing about him compared to some of these other guys is that the Lions released him this offseason. And so when you talk about calculating the compensatory draft selection process, what happens is every free agent you sign in the offseason is weighed against every free agent you lost in the offseason. But when you sign a player who was released by another team, like Glover Quinn, that does not play into the compensatory pick formula. Now, Glover Quinn is 33 years old, and so he's definitely on the downswing of his career, and he's not the safety he was a few years ago. I think 2014, he led the NFL with 7 interceptions, but he can still be that solid veteran safety on the back end. The Lions just didn't want to pay him the money he was due in his contract, and I think at his age, he's looking at really short-term deals and probably on the lower side of the financial spectrum. So I think he could be that kind of one-year stopgap, plug-and-play, starting quality safety that's not going to cost you a whole lot and can give you some of that veteran consistency back there while Deion Bush, you know, develops and competes for the spot and to kind of work alongside Eddie Jackson. And there's actually another safety that I think would be a great fit alongside Eddie Jackson, even probably be more so for the off-the-field reasons than the on-the-field reasons. But there is one free agent safety out there who played for Chuck Pagano's Indianapolis Colts defense for 3 seasons. And that is, of course, Indianapolis Colts safety Clayton Gathers, who is still only 26 years old, turns 27 this offseason. Hasn't been perhaps the most consistent starter. It's not a role he's had a ton of over his 4-year career. He's kind of a guy they've been able to plug in there and rely on for some somewhat, you know, solid performances, but it's not like he's going to be a top-end player at that position. He's also had some injury history that's concerning, and those two reasons are kind of the big factors into him being a bargain bin type guy. He's not going to be a more than a few million dollars a year type player, but he knows the Chuck Pagano terminology in the system. And I know Chuck Pagano is going to be shifting what he does to try and match more of what Vic Fangio does, but there's still going to be elements of what Pagano did with the Colts. And Clayton Gathers, you know, at the very least, can just kind of be that bridge player that even if the terminology is different, it's still sort of understanding and connecting with that coach and being that sort of coach in the locker room to be that bridge between the players and the staff. So I think a guy like Gethers should be on every Bears fan's radar as that connection to the Indianapolis Colts that I think could be a nice fit here for the Bears. Is again, just kind of a low-end option, not going to be expensive. You can plug him in to start. Maybe you just compete him with Deion Bush, let the best man start. The other one can be a backup, and you're not paying either one a ridiculous amount. And at the same time, you get that benefit of familiarity in the system. And one other swing for the fences type free agent safety at this point, Jonathan Cyprian, the former second-round pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars, did not play at all in 2018 because of a torn ACL, but he's been with the Tennessee Titans for the last couple years. A pretty consistent, strong safety when he's been on the field, and this ACL injury is really his first major thing. He had a few issues with the Titans in the year before that as well. Played 10 games out of that 16-game season due to some hamstring injuries and I think a little bit of a back ailment as well. But before that, he was pretty consistently on the field for the Jaguars. Not a world beater at safety, but you're talking about a guy who can step down and play the run, be a consistent tackler, and kind of fill that strong safety role. Cyprian's a guy that, coming off the injury, he's not going to command a big contract. You're probably looking at a one-year, re-prove-yourself type deal. Plug him in Chicago. Let him compete with Deion Bush. He should beat Deion Bush, but if he can't, then you kind of already know what you're going to get from Jonathan Cyprian. But either way, it's cheap competition. It's upside with a young safety that has proven himself in the past, but you don't have to pay for that proven previous production because of that injury. It's shrewd free agency, and I think we'll see Ryan Pace go out and try and bring in some kind of additional safety competition here to go with Deion Bush, especially if Adrian Amos is not back. But you might be thinking to yourself, you know, gosh, none of those guys really, really make you feel great about plugging them in on the defense, just given their lack of recent high-level play. But there is sort of a middle ground here between the high-end top free agent safeties on the market that are going to cost maybe seven figures and the bottom-of-the-barrel cheap contracts that can just kind of plug in and maybe add some competition for Deion Bush. So still to come on the podcast, we'll look at the more affordable type range of safeties that aren't going to be super cheap, but are still going to give you some closer to starting quality type performances that might feel you a little bit better about replacing Adrian Amos in this defense. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. As we look at what life could be like without Adrian Amos in free agency this offseason, you know, there's always the possibility that the team is quite confident in Deion Bush and doesn't feel a huge need to have to add a true replacement at the safety position. But the other side of that spectrum is also possible, with the team maybe not being so confident in Deion Bush taking over that full-time starting role. And maybe they want to get a real solid starting safety to replace Amos to make sure you are as great as you can be defensively to gear up for this championship push in 2019, not taking your chances with a bargain bin type player or trying to rely on your former fourth round pick out of Miami, but going out and getting that sure thing without totally breaking the bank. That kind of leaves us in this middle class of free agent safeties, the more affordable but quality type players. And I understand, you know, going through these top names, there are other safeties in each of these categories that I might be leaving out, but these are kind of the names I would most keep an eye on. And I think just to start, as a potential one-year stopgap player, again, not the long-term solution, but a player to join you for a potential playoff push here in 2019, how about the one just released by the Baltimore Ravens, Eric Weddle? You might recognize him as the longtime San Diego Chargers safety and a many-time Pro Bowler along the way. He's up at age 34 now this offseason. He might be somewhat future Hall of Famer, perhaps. He's got 29 career interceptions in 12 seasons. Had six back in 2017, but didn't do a lot of damage this past year in Baltimore, and they released him to potentially save some money. And the nice thing about the release is, again, it plays into this compensatory pick formula as well. And at age 34, you're not going to be given Eric Weddle a very long-term contract. You're talking about a one-year deal with some starter quality money in there, but just to kind of be that short-term answer as you look more long-term elsewhere. But Weddle can be that join-you-for-the-playoff-push type safety, give you someone really consistent next to Eddie Jackson that you can feel confident in, again, without totally breaking the bank or having to rely on a lesser veteran that you're not as confident in. Otherwise, if they're looking to go a little bit younger and maybe invest multiple years in a player to be just that plug-and-play Adrian Amos replacement for the next couple of years, I'd look for a guy like Trey Boston, the Arizona Cardinals safety, who was playing there again on just a one-year deal following his time with the Carolina Panthers earlier in his career, then spent a year with the Chargers in 2017. Continues to play at a high level, but just hasn't gotten those opportunities given the weird safety market in years past. And I think, like Adrian Amos, he kind of finds himself outside of that top tier of safeties. Amos might be pushing into that top tier of safeties and is very likely somewhere near that and maybe just on the fringe of the top tier of safeties, whereas Trey Boston, I think, is in this clear step down. And he's going to get a multi-year contract. A team is going to invest in him, I think, as their starter for a couple of years in a healthy deal. And I think it's going to be much more affordable than what the likes of Amos and Tyrann Mathieu and HaHa Clinton Dix, etc., get on the open market. So Boston is a guy, I believe he intercepted Mitchell Trubisky in week 3, or if he didn't, he had one in his hands and dropped it. I can't remember if he was the one that got the interception or almost had the interception. But regardless, he can be a playmaker on that back end, was really a steal for the Cardinals this last year on a one-year, I believe, $1 million deal. And still 26 years old, turns 27 this offseason, right in his prime. I mean, Trey Boston, if he's going to be able to come cheap and affordable as it appears, he's much better than the bargain bin type options. He's still young, and you can rely on him and feel pretty comfortable with him filling in next to Eddie Jackson for the next few years. Similar category for the Los Angeles Chargers safety, Adrian Phillips, who was maybe a little bit of a surprise addition to the Pro Bowl this year on the AFC side. He didn't have the most dominant year and, you know, wasn't this true take over a game type safety in that sort of mindset there, but still seemed to be consistent enough to get that recognition. I don't think Pro Football Focus graded him particularly well, and it wasn't a full-time role for him earlier in the season, but he took over sort of about a quarter to a third of the way through and did enough to make that Pro Bowl appearance. So I know he's going to be looking to cash in on that, but he's not necessarily this proven, you know, every year starter type guy. I mean, really just kind of emerged this year. Still only looked like, you know, still only produced one interception and one forced fumble, but a pretty consistent tackler and able to get his hands on some other passes in terms of breaking things up and so, you know, holding himself fine in coverage. So Phillips is a guy, I think, who might be disappointed by the market that's coming given the Pro Bowl season that he's had. But again, outside of that top tier of safeties and with so much depth in the class, he could come a little bit more reasonable than you might think for a young Pro Bowl safety. And we'll wrap up with just a pair of veterans that I think you could probably get another 2 years out of. You wouldn't want to lock them into anything super long term, but I think you could get away with doing more than just a one-year type deal with them and feel pretty confident that you're going to get your money's worth and get consistent starting quality safety play while you draft somebody and have a little bit more time to groom that potential long-term starter behind them. One is the most recently Indianapolis Colts safety, Mike Mitchell. Didn't play for Chuck Pagano there because he just came to Indy this year, but he was a starter for the Steelers for the 4 seasons before that, and had started his career back with the Oakland Raiders as a second-round pick out of Ohio University. And, you know, just a solid player. He had a pretty strong season in sort of a half a year role for the Indianapolis Colts. Injuries were kind of the biggest factor there. He suffered some pec issues and then calf kept him out for a little while and ended up finishing the year on injured reserve, but still a solid veteran. You know, he came there on the same kind of soft safety market that, you know, a lot of these other guys had dealt with, so it was a cheap minimum deal. Had been a pretty big time salary type guy for the Steelers in years before that, but given coming off the injury and now he's up there on the wrong side of 30, sitting, I think this offseason he's going to turn 32, so he's going to be on that decline soon. So you don't want to invest in him for too many more years, but he can still plug and play at a high level. He did so when he was healthy for the Colts. He can do a lot of different things schematically and has played in some very quality defenses. And I just think there's a guy that, again, not going to cost you top dollar, but you can rely on him to kind of bolster that secondary while you work a replacement in the future. And then Darian Stewart from the Denver Broncos. I don't know if he's been actually released, but he's one of those guys that's going to be planned to be released sometime down the line. And still a similar situation. Turns 31 this offseason. He's been a consistent starting safety for the Broncos for the last 4 years. Not this playmaking Pro Bowler, not this, you know, big time hitter, but still gonna just be consistency. Consistency, it's affordable. That's what you're kind of looking for in a short term Adrian Amos replacement. A guy who can hold down the position for a year or two as long as you need him. And whether Deion Bush eventually takes over, or you bring in a rookie safety this year, or, you know, whatever happens in the future, he can plug in and help maintain this defense close to where it was with Adrian Amos in there, assuming Amos is gone, and help this team make that playoff push. Because at the end of the day, that's the objective from Ryan Pace this offseason. Get this roster as good as possible to keep things rolling from last season. We talked on yesterday's podcast about, you know, all of the Bears' own free agents and trying to maintain some of that continuity. But if true continuity isn't possible, then if you can at least maintain continuity in terms of a certain level of talent, being able to keep every position as strong as you can, that can go a long way. And being able to get one of the more affordable starters that you're a little bit more comfortable with, rather than taking your chances on a competition of Deion Bush and a bargain bin type player, might be where Ryan Pace ends up feeling more comfortable if Adrian Amos is on his way out. I don't want it to be a total foregone conclusion that Amos is gone. Like I said at the top, I think they're going to see how his market goes and how well that materializes with all those other top-name free agent safeties needing some big contracts of their own. But no matter what happens with Amos and all of the Bears free agents, we'll be right here to break down everything for you all next week on Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis through free agency, through the draft, and through these dead times of the offseason we got just on the horizon. I want to remind you, I want to hear from you. For next Monday's podcast, I want to hear your Bears free agent wish list. Give me a voicemail on the Locked On Bears voicemail line. The phone number is 312-620-8590. Broke down all the safeties today. We're going to get through some other positions here with free agency right around the corner as well. So laying out some of the names to know, you know, you can, if you've got other dreams of Antonio Brown, although that'll be a trade, but maybe Le'Veon Bell or, you know, Justin Houston if he's related. I want to hear what's really got your attention from a free agent standpoint. Who is your wish list here for the Chicago Bears? You can't just name all the top guys because I'd like to keep it a little bit within reason, but I want to hear your opinions. It's not just me talking to you. I want you to talk to me so then I can play it back on the podcast and have you talk to you, I guess. But it's all a part of joining the conversation. I hope you'll reach out, use the voicemail and text line, tweet us at Locked On Bears, join the Locked On Bears Facebook group. You can shoot us an email, lockedonbears@gmail.com as well. But no matter how you do it, make sure you bear down.